As you may know, we had a wonderful service here on Wednesday night. Then, of course, we had Rosh Hashanah services on Thursday morning and yesterday morning. And then last night we had Friday Night Live. And I don't mind telling you that I'm a bit tired. And I was going to complain, but then I read this morning's parsha, which is Ha'azinu, and I realized that Moses had to deliver this very long, complex, and beautiful poem after 40 years of wandering in the desert, and that doing a couple services hardly measures up. Nonetheless, I do want you to know before I speak this morning that you're not going to get what you deserve. Because really, I only have one point to make left from all the points that I had to make over the course of the holidays. And it's true that I will dress it up with stories and jokes, but really, it's only one point. And the reason you have to dress it up, of course, is the same reason, according to Leona Medina, who is a medieval Jewish preacher and theologian. He said, you have to realize why it is that when the Torah was given at Sinai, it was given to the accompaniment of thunder and lightning. Why couldn't God just give the Torah? And his answer is, some Jews, as soon as they hear words of Torah, they fall asleep. So God knew that thunder and lightning were essential so that you could slip in the words of Torah for those Jews who fall asleep when they hear them. I have one fan for that joke. But here is my question for the morning, because actually, when I was thinking about this morning and Shabbat Shuvah, and this time of the year, it is inevitable that you think about Moses. Moses is coming to the end of his life as we reach the end of the Torah, and of course there is the recurring question about why he doesn't go into the land. But I this morning have a different question about Moses, which is, we know who is the greatest prophet in the history of the Jewish people. Lo kam b'Yisrael k'moshe od Navi, right? Maimonides makes it one of his principles of faith, and we recite it in the Yigdal, that a prophet has never arisen in Israel like Moshe. Moshe is the greatest prophet in the history of our people. But when we refer to Moshe, do we call him Moshe Nivienu, Moses our prophet? No. What do we call him? Moses our teacher. So why is it that we prefer the title of teacher to the title of prophet? If you have a choice between a sage, a chacham, a teacher, and a prophet, which do you choose? And this morning, I want to say a word in favor of the chacham over the prophet. You know, Achad Ha'am, who was himself a great chacham, a great sage, wrote an essay about the priest and the prophet. But of course, we don't have priests or prophets anymore. But still, there is the prophetic style, and there is the chacham, the sage style, in the way that people speak and teach. Those still endure. And there is a little bit of a difference between inspiration and wisdom. Everybody would agree we need both. You don't want uninspired wisdom, and you don't want vapid or empty inspiration. But it does seem to me that it tells us something important, that Moshe is called Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses our teacher, and not Moses our prophet. Solomon Schechter, who was one of the great shapers of the conservative movement, the former chancellor of the Jewish Theological Seminary, who gave his name and legacy, of course, to a network of schools, once wrote that prophetic Judaism can't work because it's like as if you were only breathing oxygen. It's too pure, Nobody lives on the plane of prophecy. In fact, only one prophet in all of the Torah succeeds. Which prophet succeeds? Jonah. Jonah says, in a few words to Nineveh, in a few days, the city will be overthrown unless you repent, and they all repent. But none of the other prophets succeed. Isaiah doesn't get the people to be perfect. Jeremiah doesn't. Ezekiel doesn't. God knows Moshe doesn't. Why? Because inspiration is powerful, but it is ephemeral. You say, wow, I'm so inspired. And then you go out, you go shopping, you have breakfast, you read the paper, and maybe some scintilla, some small amount of the inspiration stays. But you can't live on oxygen alone. There is, however, something that can stay. And that's wisdom. Wisdom can live with you, can grow as opposed to diminish. Because wisdom tells you what to do with the inspiration, how to live with it, how to change your life day after day after day. That's why the idea, if you imagine what is the archetypal experience of a Jew, it's study. Study and prayer. The idea of powerful moments of inspiration, they're few and far between. They exist, but they're few and far between because we don't live up here, we live down here. And when we come to Shuvah, to repentance, as powerfully inspired as you may be on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, as beautiful as the prayers are, as powerful as the experiences of being in community and being together, the truth is that you have to carry it day after day after day, and a small insight into your relationships, into your soul, into your personality, that's what will deepen us and enable us to turn that inspiration into lived experience, into a genuine change from what we were to what we can be. I bring all this up because this is, in fact, the time to make resolutions. You can't make a resolution to be inspired all year. Well, you can, but good luck with that. But you can make a resolution to learn more. You can make a resolution to study. You can make a resolution to go to classes, to read, to deepen your knowledge of our tradition, which enables you to deepen your knowledge of yourself. In other words, to realize that as important as it is that we have prophets, our greatest leader is called Rabbeinu, our teacher. And therefore, when we say Moshe Rabbeinu, what does that make us? Students. It's interesting that there isn't a word for someone who listens to a prophet, but there is a word for someone who listens to a teacher. What do you call yourself if you're a listener to a prophet? You call yourself somebody who listens to a prophet. Maybe a disciple, but disciple has lots of other meanings. But we know what it is to listen to a teacher. It is to be a student. I remember many years ago, the first time when I was in high school and I met Elie Wiesel. He had come to my father's synagogue to speak, and right beforehand he was talking to all of us, and he said to me, "What do you do?" And I said, "I'm a student." And he said, "We're all students." Because to be a Jew is to be a student. It's to learn. And that's why, on this morning, after 40 years in the desert, we're still listening to Moshe Rabbeinu. Because there's more to learn. There's more to understand. Because the Torah, in its broadest sense, which is the collective wisdom of our tradition, is inexhaustible. You can never get to the bottom of it, just as you can never get to the bottom of any individual human soul. So I hope that in the coming year, we will all have moments of inspiration. They're good. They're wonderful. They're indispensable. It's important to be inspired. But I hope as well that we will have continuous moments, daily moments of study, where we will learn more about our tradition, ourselves, our world, and our God. That is, after all, the greatest tribute you can pay to the memory of our greatest teacher, not Moses the prophet, but Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses, our rabbi, Moses, our teacher. Shabbat shalom.